Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am the tech editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Meow.
Meow? Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Right. Well, first, let's go with a little listener mail. This listener mail comes to us from Ian, and Ian says, "Hey, I was wondering if you could do a podcast about the new Mac operating system, Mac OS X Snow Leopard. Also, I was wondering about the iPhone on Verizon. I read some places that Verizon will carry the iPhone coming December 2009, but I'm not sure. But thanks, and I love your podcast." So clearly you can tell already, Ian wrote us some time ago. This would be back in November of 2009. It is now 2010, and the iPhone is not on Verizon.
Yet.
Yet. There's still rumors about it. As of the recording of this podcast, no official announcement, but we all suspect that that's where it's headed.
Yeah, actually, on the day they released the iPad, a lot of people expected an announcement that Apple would have finally decided to open the iPhone up to a number of cell phone providers, but that announcement hasn't happened.
Yeah, imagine that. There's a big press release for one thing that Apple's doing, and people expect Apple to say something else. Now, in this case, I'm actually defending Apple, and I'm saying, shame on you, Apple fanboys. If Apple's going to explain something to you and unveil something to you, don't just sit there and get upset if it doesn't also tack on some other announcement that you're eager to hear.
Well,
we see that happen over and over. I criticize Apple a lot. I won't lie, but I feel for them when they come out and do a press event and everyone's like, "Oh, you know, it was awesome that you unveiled that totally new device that no one has ever seen before. But, what about this Verizon iPhone thing?"
Well, there's a, that's pretty much fans of every tech. When they release something, they really want to see all the goodies.
I think it's the discretionary income that makes the Apple ones even worse.
I don't know.
You can write me at techstuff@howstuffworks.com.
Yeah, and they will.
I know. I own Apple products, so I know about this.
Yes, yes. And I admit that, you know, I'm, like many, eager to see what they're going to release. But, you know, then there's no surprises if they do it all in one day. So I kind of don't mind so much if they
This is kind of like spreading the holidays out throughout the year. But anyway.
But as far as Snow Leopard goes.
Yes, let's talk about that because we haven't talked about it yet on the podcast. And we thought we'd do a little bit of an overview on the operating system.
Now, I'm glad that we actually waited to do this. And, you know, and Windows 7, you know, we're doing these together. Because it's kind of nice to see how consumers have accepted or in some cases not accepted, these newer versions of the operating systems for their respective machines. Now,
also gives us a chance to play with them a little bit so that, you know,
we actually can talk about it.
Right. A lot of times when people write in, they don't understand that most of the new stuff you see in various blogs and on the news and things, we don't get that in advance.
Well, that's because we don't do reviews at How Stuff Works. Traditionally, we talk about the technology underlying whatever it is that we're talking about.
Right. So we don't.
So we have a different focus than like a CNET or.
Right. Right. Manufacturers don't necessarily want to send us stuff because we're not going to be doing a review. So therefore, it doesn't make a lot of sense on their end to send us advanced copies of things. We do occasionally get them anyway, which is great because we get to test it out. And, you know, if we know that we don't have to return it, we can even take it apart. Yeah.
Which we have done.
By the way, taking it apart pretty much means it's done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, this is like when the 2-year-old takes apart a watch to see how it works. That's kind of how we are. There's no guarantee that it's going to come back together ever again.
Yes.
That poor Pleo. Still can hear the screaming.
Yeah. So in the case of Snow Leopard, this is the latest version, 10.6, to come out of Apple after this dates back to the early 2000s. The Apple OS 10 is the result of the deal when Apple reacquired Steve Jobs. I mean, they acquired the next computer system,
right.
Which was actually heralded as a very high-tech competitor back in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Jobs started the company after leaving Apple. And, you know, the machines that ran it, the operating system known as Next Step, were really kind of for tech heads, because it ran on a different kernel. It ran on BSD, which is what OS X runs on, deep inside the operating system. I know we took it apart and can't get it back together again. So this is, OS X has been evolving, and this is the sixth formal version of it, major formal version of it. It's actually been updated a couple times since last fall when it was released. But unlike previous versions, we were talking about the Apple press conferences when everybody goes nuts about the latest and greatest thing. Snow Leopard is sort of a different sort of operating system because the update was released with no new features. Sort of.
Yeah.
Because everybody expects the new, you know, little programlet that they put in there, which allows you to do some great thing, you know, or widgets or, you know, some other cool
some
thing.
New function,
I want to play
right.
with this gizmo that they've thrown into the OS this time, which is good for marketing, too, because, you know, it helps them go, hey, well, you know, if you buy it this way. Snow Leopard, which, you know, they've been using these cat names.
Right.
The one 2 times before it was Tiger, but the one previous 10.5 was Leopard. So this
Snow
is
Leopard,
a different kind of Leopard.
Right. Snow Leopard was kind of an indication that this was a refinement of the previous version and not like a huge jump ahead.
And that really was what it was. It's an incremental step ahead. The big difference, again, this is not exciting in a lot of ways, you know, especially if you're looking for some flashy new bell or whistle that you can show off to your friends. The biggest difference is now the kernel, which is a very, very basic part of the operating system, is a 64-bit kernel, which means it takes advantage of a lot more processing power than other previous versions of the operating system. This is good because they're incrementally moving up bit by bit, sorry for the pun, to be able to take advantage of more advanced microprocessors. And a lot of the refinements in Snow Leopard are like that too, like things like Grand Central Dispatch, which, essentially manages processing threads so that they are run by your processor more efficiently. And OpenCL, which is a technology that uses your graphics processor, it's not doing something like, say, for example, you are running, editing a video. You're going to need your graphics processor chip to do a lot of that, work. But if you're working on something else that doesn't require a lot of graphics processing, OpenCL will, basically say, you know, commandeer your graphics processor chip, which is, you know, a different kind of microprocessor dedicated to graphics. And will co-opt that and say, come here, I need you to do these other things until you're busy with something else. And basically the operating system is handling processing threads more efficiently than it was before. But that's not really all that sexy, you know? And there's not that much to show for it. You know, you can't go, hey, look at this thing. Because really it's the same kind of thing.
It looks almost exactly like the thing it was before. Some people have actually gone so far as to criticize Apple and call Snow Leopard a service pack.
Yeah.
To Leopard. And that it could have just been released as an upgrade to Leopard without having justifying, you know, its own name and, mm-hmm. But then other reviewers are a little more kind, toward Apple and, I think justifiably so. I think there is enough there to justify a separate purchase price mm-hmm. for Snow Leopard. It's not like the changes are all so subtle that you would never notice them.
Mm-hmm.
They did tweak several of the applications within Snow Leopard so that they run a little better. They have a few more features. Again, nothing as revolutionary as a brand new feature that is going to blow everyone's socks off.
Right.
But applications that can do more than they did in the previous versions. So things like Stacks or even the Mail and the iCal mm-hmm. features had more functionality than they did in previous versions. And enough of it so that if you were upgrading from Leopard to Snow Leopard, the price was not prohibitively expensive, not by a long shot.
Mm-hmm. No, we're talking, unlike the previous upgrades to the operating system, which cost $129, Snow Leopard is $29.
Yeah.
Now, that's
theoretically,
that's for people who have Leopard.
Right.
If you have Tiger or a previous version, you're supposed to be paying the full price.
But if you go into an Apple store and say, I'm upgrading from Leopard to Snow Leopard, it's not like they're going to ask you to bring your machine in and prove it.
As it turns out, I upgraded my machine from Leopard to Snow Leopard, so I didn't have to worry about that. But as it turns out, apparently you can even format a drive with one of the $29 disks. It doesn't ask you if you have Leopard or automatically detect whether you have Leopard on your operating system.
Now, before any of you rush out there to upgrade your old Mac into Snow Leopard, uh-huh. there's something very important you need to know about this operating system.
Especially if you're running a PowerPC-based
Mac. That's specifically what you need to know. If you are running a PowerPC-based Mac, which is...
those are the older chips, the microprocessors from Motorola and IBM.
If you're running one of those... Snow Leopard will not work on your machine. It is not designed for that processor, and mm-hmm. you won't be able to run it. Even if you were to go out there and fool Apple and pay the $29 for it, it would just be a useless piece mm-hmm. of software to you.
Yep. Now, in general, benchmarking tests have shown that all these processor improvements may not necessarily be all that improved.
In fact, some of them for some processes, Snow Leopard may actually perform slower,
mm-hmm.
more poorly, I guess you could say, or if you prefer, Leopard is more efficient than Snow Leopard for some processes. At least it's faster.
I think there are a number of reasons for this.
Mm-hmm.
One is that a lot of Apple software for, let's say this, a lot of software for Mac OS X is running in 32-bit mode. And your Snow Leopard installation will too, unless you specifically tell it you want to start up in 64-bit mode. At this point, if you boot up your Mac running Snow Leopard, it will boot into 32-bit mode unless you hold down the 6 and the 4 key at the same time as you are booting it up. And you have to hold it down until it boots, and then it is running 64-bit mode. And it doesn't actually tell you this because I tried it, and I'm going, okay,
is it,
did you
is
show? It, you, there's no
working?
Window goes, hey.
Yeah.
However, Some of the older programs may be running 32-bit. They may not necessarily take advantage of the multiprocessor functionality that you can use in Snow Leopard. And they may be running, you know, for a while now, they've been running universal code, which means it can run on a PowerPC chip or an Intel chip. And if it's running with those, you know, that's basically going to slow down the piece of software. It's not optimized to work with that machine. I think in time you'll find that, I mean, this is just based on my own experience and what I happen to know. I think in time more programs that are written to take advantage of these things in Snow Leopard will, you know, when you benchmark those against earlier versions of the software, you're going to see that these programs do better. But I think when they first did those benchmarking tests, there were probably some issues with that.
Sure, sure.
I'm just guessing here.
Well, I mean, and
you know, I know that those things like universal binaries, fat binaries, those are the programs that have code in them to run on more than one processor chip. I know for a fact that those are in general slower.
Right, and some of the applications that like the QuickTime application. Felt a lot different than the earlier ones for things like Leopard and, the user interface on Snow Leopard is kind of a little more snazzy and has a bit more, sex appeal to it, I guess you could say. So, I mean, there are some cosmetic differences as well. It's not all just under the hood. And, if that matters to you, then of course that becomes a selling point. If you're like me and you've gotten to the point where you don't really care what your computer looks like as long as stuff works the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
In fact, actually, I'll go even further. If you end up doing a dance of joy because your computer actually did something that you told it to do, then how good it looks may not really matter to you very much. But it matters a lot during press conferences.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true. Now, you know, if you... there are other things that you are probably going to be interested in if you're still considering upgrading to Snow Leopard. You know, if you do have an Intel machine, generally anything in the last 4 years is Intel-based machine. You know, there are some things that you'll enjoy. There's a new version of QuickTime that came with it.
Right.
It's very nice. I really enjoy that. And it tends to update things like networking. Automatically detects whether or not there are new drivers for your printer, which is nice. It can even identify which printers are closer to you if you are working in an office that has Mac. It might be able to tell the laser printer around the corner versus the one down the hall, which is kind of neat. Again, these are just little incremental improvements that I think would be nice if every operating system had them. So it's not so flashy, but nice to have.
Attempt to install Safari on your computer, no matter how many times you scream, "I don't want that operating or that web browser."
Oh yeah, there's the new version of Safari that came with Snow Leopard. Of course, that's pretty much true. I think for
I know there are a lot of people out there who really do like the Safari web browser, and they're accustomed to its user interface. And I know I joke about how much I hate the Safari web browser, so I just want to be serious here for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I really hate Safari web browser. But, you know, hey, if you like it, that's cool. I'm just going to keep using my little Firefox over here until they get Chrome to the point where it actually is good on the Mac. That's a jab at Google.
Actually, I used Chrome on my Mac at home running Snow Leopard, and it's been a very positive experience.
I'm running it on Tiger, and it's
It works very nicely on Snow Leopard.
I'll have to go and lie to Apple. Dang, I should not have recorded this podcast. Well, here's something that we need to mention. I can't believe we've gone this long without mentioning it, or maybe you did and I just zoned out.
Okay.
Exchange support.
Yes.
Built in.
Yes.
To Snow Leopard.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, that's a big deal because Exchange is one of those major platforms that lots of corporations use for things like email.
Well, it's funny because not to take a swipe at Microsoft at all, because in a lot of ways I like Entourage, which is the mail program that comes with Office for Mac. The new version of Office for Mac will actually come with Outlook, which is good because Entourage
is dead.
Well, Entourage is support for the Exchange server is if you're not actually, okay, here's the thing. If you're not actually on the network, it doesn't really do all that much supporting.
Right.
Whereas with Mail, which is mail.app is the Mac email program that comes with the OS. You can actually put in your Exchange server information, basically like your email address and you know, some simple user information. It automatically detects, the Exchange server and goes ahead and downloads your information. Now, I think this is being done, you know, and there has to be some cooperation on the part of the Exchange server for this to work, but it does work and it does work automatically, which is nice. You know, I've had the same experience on Evolution Mail for Linux, which is pretty cool because you're going, okay, well, how come some of Microsoft's own products don't interface with the Exchange server as well as these others do? But
it is
nice to have.
Yeah. And before we, I guess, move into the final section here, mm-hmm. there were some problems with Snow Leopard when it launched.
Absolutely.
There were some applications that were compatible with the predecessor, with mm-hmm. Leopard, mm-hmm. that no longer worked properly or in some cases did not work at all in Snow Leopard.
Yeah. Well, this could be said, or I should, you know, with a grain of salt, this actually could be said of virtually any OS upgrade.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much any time you're going to have anything beyond a minor patch,
yeah.
you run the risk of changing the operating system enough so that applications that were built on the old set of parameters will no longer work properly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just... You can't really blame Apple for that. You definitely can't blame the developers because it's yeah. not like they can see in the future and see exactly what Apple's going to build into the next generation of the operating system. It's one of those things that upon the release of any operating system, new operating system, you're going to see some instances of that. And, really you got a couple of options. One is you just wait to adopt a new operating system until most of those bugs get ironed out.
Yeah. A lot of times they say to wait for a dot release, which is in this case 10.6.1.
Right. Where they've addressed some of those problems mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. It may even be where you end up having to download a patch for the particular application as opposed to the operating system.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on who gets there first really. But the other option is you go ahead and you adopt the new operating system and you just cope with the fact that you're not going to have access to some of the applications that you might otherwise expect because they were running fine on your machine before.
Mm-hmm.
These weren't necessarily major applications that got a lot of use from your average user, but power users, people who had very specific reasons for using a Mac might have encountered that with various programs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, I had some hiccups when I first switched over. One thing that I can recommend to you, if you're going to switch your computer from one operating system of any kind to the other. Again, this is, you know, true for pretty much everything. Back up your computer first.
Yes.
Even doing an incremental release, moving from, Leopard to Snow Leopard, or, you know, if you're upgrading from Vista to Windows 7, you can't count on it always being a smooth installation. You know, even I heard some complaints of people who moved from, Ubuntu 9.04 to 9.10. You know, you never know when your driver's going to go away or, you know, suddenly something's going to go awry and you can't access a certain kind of file or, heaven forbid, you know, your hard drive gets completely, smashed, not literally, but, you know, it completely obliterates the information in your hard drive, which has happened in some instances.
Mm-hmm.
So always good to back up your data.
And here's something that's also kind of an interesting comparison between the Mac OS and its chief competitor, which would be Microsoft's Windows product.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike the Microsoft machines, when you go and buy a new Mac, and I'm talking about a new one, not a refurbished one or a used
right.
one, you're not buying it off Craigslist, you're going into the Apple Store and you're buying it. Whatever Mac machine you're picking up, you're going to be getting the latest version of that software.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's
yeah.
what that's because they're going to upgrade everything. So the day that the Snow Leopard operating system went gold on the shelves, it was also what was available as soon as you walked into the store to buy a new Mac.
Or at least they'd give you a copy of it.
Right. Yeah. If it wasn't already pre-installed on the machine, they would give you a copy and you could upgrade it. But on a Windows machine, you could go into a store and because this is all from various manufacturers, not a single manufacturer like it is from Apple. You could find machines that might be running Windows 7 or Vista or even XP.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, they would just give you the option of, do you want this machine on XP or Vista? Back before Windows 7 came out, you would even, there were some that the machines came standard with Vista, but you could actually choose to downgrade the machine to XP, which a lot of people did. But yeah, you can still find machines in stores that are running various versions of Windows because it's not a unified front like it is with Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Also, of course, as we pointed out in our Windows 7 podcast, which may or may not have published before this one, it was recorded before this one, but we never know which one's publishing next.
Yes.
Because Apple controls this process from beginning to end, there's usually a more stable release than an operating system like Windows is, because Apple knows all the different players in this game. They know what the video cards are going to be. They know what the sound cards are going to be. They know what the resolution of the screen is going to be. They know every aspect that's going to go into the hardware that's going to handle this operating system, assuming you're not using a Hackintosh.
Right.
Right. Assuming you're using an Apple-approved machine to run this operating system, which means that it's going to run the way it's supposed to run unless something is fundamentally flawed with the actual operating system.
Right.
Windows, Microsoft, they don't have that luxury because Microsoft creates an operating system that can run on essentially – any sort of machine that meets a basic set of stats,
right?
Like a basic, you know, a bare minimum processor and a bare minimum amount of memory, that kind of stuff. Once it hits that, then theoretically the Microsoft product should be able to run on it. But as we all know, depending on what elements you have in your computer, it may or may not run properly because Microsoft can't predict what video card's going to be in there, what sound card. Sometimes video cards and sound cards will have, incompatibilities with each other or with a certain kind of processor. And Microsoft has no control over any of those elements. That's all a manufacturer kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the experience of purchasing a Mac computer is different from Windows. It's why you often will hear Apple customers say, you know why I want a Mac? Because it just works.
Yeah.
And it's because Apple has controlled that whole process. It's still a matter of debate whether or not the Mac OS is superior to a Windows OS. That's really kind of a personal taste thing, I think. It's hard to be super objective about it. I mean, you could argue based on how well they perform similar tasks. Mm-hmm. You could do a benchmark test that way. But they both have such a unique user interface to their own experience that I think it does come down to a matter of personal taste. Also, if you're a video gamer or not.
Yeah.
If you're a gamer, it's still a PC world. There are a lot of great games out there for the Mac, but it's just a subset, really, of some of the games that you'll find for the PC.
Well, Snow Leopard does include support for Boot Camp.
Yes,
or
which
other
would allow you to boot into
Windows.
Yes.
Or, for that matter, Linux.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can install Windows alongside your Mac OS X.
Yeah, essentially it's – yeah, you could boot into Windows instead of – the Mac OS yes. on your Mac and then run various Windows-oriented software.
Yes. Earlier, I misspoke a little bit, I think, when I said rather boldly that I know for a fact that binary applications are slower to run. That's not necessarily true. Well, some of them are, but the chances are pretty good that they're going to run about the same on PowerPC and Intel chips. However, the programs themselves are going to be bigger because they have more code in them, essentially, you know, because they have to have code that takes advantage of either processor.
Right.
And, you know, some of the files they create may or may not be a little larger as a result. But suffice it to say that a program written for just one processor, type of processor, is going to be more efficient. You know, it'll be smaller. It'll be there's less code in there.
It's going to take
sort of like
more,
less moving parts.
Yeah.
Chances are good that it's going to be make your computer more efficient on the long run, and I think that's the benefit there. But yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that they all forever and ever are larger, but
some
of them are.
It's a good point for technology, just in technology in general. As technology advances and we move into more advanced forms of processors. Like you go from 32-bit to 64-bit to 128-bit.
And it will happen.
Every company or organization or developer has to face a question, which is, do I develop this application or this operating system even so that it will work on multiple kinds of processors? Or do I just make the choice to abandon the older processors and say, if you're not running this kind of machine, this application is off limits to you? It's a tough choice to make because, you know, you limit your audience if you decide to cut out a portion of the customer base that happens to be running older machines. On the other hand, it makes the development process much easier, and it also keeps your code to a more manageable level. The more you have to support various kinds of hardware, whether it's different processors or whatever, the harder and more complex your development process is going to be. Just in general, rule of thumb.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Even saying that, I think most people would be like, well, yeah. But, I mean, it's worth saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I think too, thinking back on it, I've seen, you know, we need to wrap up, but, I've seen generally positive reviews, especially once the initial dust up over, well, hey, this thing doesn't work with Snow Leopard. Past, you know, once they had some incremental releases. I know I've had a smoother experience in the last few months than I did when I first switched over, because I did have a couple applications that needed to be updated so that they would work properly. But, you know, people don't really talk about Snow Leopard. That's one of the downsides of having this very, you know, in general, positive incremental release. But, you know, Windows 7 has generated a lot of buzz.
It
rapidly shot up to 10% of the market share. And Snow Leopard, there's just not a lot to generate buzz around.
Well, it's also just that the user base for Macs is smaller than
that's
for
true
PCs.
Too.
I mean, it's not that they are any less passionate. In fact, I would argue that real Mac fans tend to be some of the most passionate electronics consumers out there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But there aren't as many of them. So
yeah.
I think that's part of it. Like you said, part of it was also that it wasn't a huge leap forward, although it was a lot of improvements. But everything I've seen has essentially said it's worth the $30.
Yeah, it is. It's it's a good release. It's stable. It's if you're considering upgrading and your computer is capable of it at this point, you know, it's an affordable upgrade and will get you ready for the Apple pun next step.
All right, we're gonna wrap this up now.
Okay.
Partially because of that pun, and also because we are reaching the amount of time we spent on Windows 7, and this way we can avoid accusations of favoritism.
Okay.
So, if you want to write us any comments or questions, or you just want to yell at me because I don't know enough about Apple, send that email, techstuff@howstuffworks.com. I read every single one of them, and yes, you do hurt my feelings when you call me names. If you would like, check out our blogs. They are very informative. We have a live show every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Eastern, and go to the website, howstuffworks.com. Check it out. Take some of the quizzes. They're actually a lot of fun. I've been doing them recently. I got 10 out of the 10 on the kissing quiz.
Okay, I'm not going there.
Well, I wasn't asking you to. At any rate, you guys take care, and that's for all of you out there. We'll talk to you again soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the new TechStuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeira. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.